This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I just learned something, Sam. Just learned something.
Yep.
I'll tell you in a second. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. We are now officially in for the steakhouse on this Memorial Day morning.
Yes, we are.
Steak and Sandra. I haven't seen Sandra in a minute, but saw Steak at the Braves game the other day, sitting in big seats behind home plate, which is where you expect to see him. But anyway, top of the hour, good morning to ya!
Morning!
This is what we do on the weekend show. And a good morning to all you first responders and all you other folks that are doing things for other people in Noonan.
All right, now.
Down in
Cowee de County.
Yes. I had Noelle. I asked her before we bring on our guest, which we were supposed to have on a little while ago. He don't get his walk-on song. Yeah, because he missed his segment. So
okay.
He had to come on to something else. So I had Noelle pick her favorite Stevie Nicks song.
Oh, man.
Stevie Nicks, right?
Yeah.
And this is what she played. Of all the songs in her catalog, I did not expect this.
Well, you gave me a caveat of up-tempo, and that's a hard one for Stevie Nicks.
Well, that's true.
So
okay.
I went with this one because this is like my favorite up-tempo song. But if I got my choice, I probably would have played Sarah.
There you go. You could have played that.
But, you know, I want to keep the energy up high.
There we go.
Here's my question
for
you while you got your headphones on. Are you hoping for, because I've not heard any confirmation one way or the other, that her bio comes out?
Yes.
And who's going to be playing her?
I'm still married to Kate Hudson.
Kate Hudson.
If I don't hear that, then I'm going to want to throw it in the trash because I'm already married to Kate Hudson. So.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, for those of you not heard, Kate Hudson has been lobbying for it. Well, now, you got to have the right script, too. But them Fleetwood Mac years?
Yeah,
oh, man. And I know a little bit about that because I was a roadie for a guy who worked with them and he pulled me into one of their tours. They could not stand
each other.
The Tusk album.
Yeah.
Reportedly.
Right.
Report was recorded individually.
Yeah.
They couldn't even get into the studio together.
Wow.
So they went in there individually and did that.
I mean, their greatest albums is songs about each other.
Mm-hmm. And Rumors is still top five, I think,
exactly,
selling all time.
Yeah. And it's just diss songs about each other in the band.
All right.
It is insane to write a song about you dating the roadie where your ex-husband got to play the bass line. That's crazy.
Whoa.
Sounds like an episode of Beauty in Black.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow.
Which season 2 will be coming up here in a few months. We'll be talking about that. Anyway, let's welcome our guest on here. Should have been here a little while ago, but we can fuss at him and about him because he's family. But Terrell Thomas, these Urban Times, he's joining us now to talk.
On this holiday Monday.
On this holiday Monday. He was with us a few days ago, but the NBA playoffs continue. We don't want to hear no story about what happened earlier. We're just going to move forward, right?
Yes, indeed. Good morning. Great to be with you, gentlemen. And Noel, gentlemen and lady.
Yeah, there you go. She'll be fussing at you, too. All right, man. So you've been watching these. Well, first of all, how's your weekend been?
It's been a good weekend. It's been a busy weekend, but it's been a good weekend. We got a little rain last night, so I was always able to sleep better like that. But it's been a good weekend. I can't complain.
All right. You on the grill? So who's cooking?
No, I unfortunately for me, I've had work and other things to take care of this weekend, so it hasn't been a, you know, get on the grill and enjoy myself type weekend.
Okay.
But my lady cooked something for me yesterday, so that worked out well.
All right. It's like it's a making it do what it do weekend. That's what it is. Yeah, really.
That's all right.
You know, earlier we talked about this series in the East, and, you know, Terrell, we talked about how the Eastern Conference Finals, you have a certain feel to them. That bump and grind is usually not that up and down the floor pretty stuff. It's physical. These teams have been pounding on each other all season long, and now they meet for the Eastern Conference, and the survivor gets to go on to the NBA Finals. And this goes back for years. You know, these games are always wars, and sometimes the home court is a little bit meaningless. And that's what we've seen right now with the Knicks getting the win on the road last night.
Yeah, I was thoroughly surprised that the Knicks pulled off that victory last night. The way the Pacers, I won't say dominated games 1 and 2, but they were able to control the pace, I'll say, in games 1 and 2. And when you have a 20-point lead at home after already being up 2-0, I almost thought that it would be time to prepare the Knicks' funeral. I thought they were going to be up and out of here and be down 3-0. And somehow, some way, they were able to pull it off. They're now the first team in NBA history to have three times that they've been down 20 points in a playoff scenario or series and actually come back. We make it a situation where we get seven games out of these two teams because they are so evenly matched. But I was very impressed and surprised that the Knicks were able to come back last night. And I hope that's not something that ends up shooting the Pacers in the foot, being up that 20 points and then losing that game.
You know what's funny? You could actually tell everything that he just said with a different spin and make it sound like the Knicks could be up 3-0. You actually could make that case, right, Terrell? Because you talk about the 20-point comeback for the Pacers in the first game and then the craziness of that second game. If that shot don't go in, that they're going to be showing for eternity, whether you're a Pacers fan or a Knicks fan, that shot is going to be that Halliburton shot that bounced up and came back down. They don't get that win. And again, you could talk about a 3-0 lead for this Knicks team. Now, I don't feel the same way about OKC and Minnesota. I think just Minnesota got one from a team who had been just going at 100 miles an hour those first couple games, coming off the MVP ceremonies with Shea that second game. But I could make a case, and I think a lot of New York fans could, or just people who are watching that, Knicks could be up for 3-0.
Yeah, you can certainly make that case, and it would be no argument there. But, I just think the teams are so evenly matched, they could go either way. The Pacers could easily be up 3-0, and same for New York. New York could be up 3-0 as well. And I think when you have situations like that, and these games have been so close, that's what makes this a great series.
Yeah, they do, folks. Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline with Terrell Thomas. He is social. You can find him at Eldorado 2452 at Eldorado 2452, These Urban Times. And he always joins us to keep an eye on things as far as the NBA playoffs, which are always in full swing right around this time of year, Memorial Day holiday weekend. This East Coast, can the Knicks pull off a second one? Is it possible that the Knicks could even this thing up before they go back to New York?
Oh, yes, that's extremely possible. Now, I do think Rick Carlisle and his Pacer team will make adjustments. But as we just mentioned, as close as this series and as even as this series has been, I would not be surprised if both the teams in the first four games went on the road. As we've seen, the Pacers win the first two at Madison Square Garden. I would not be surprised one bit to see the Knicks come out tomorrow night and get a win in Indiana and even this series up.
Of the wins out west between OKC and Minnesota, and you talk about the two stars. Now, I realize we don't have a big sample size. It's been just three games. But the game that Ant-Man dominated versus, well, the way the MVP played in those first two games. I was trying to think which one of those games he was more dominant in. You can pick it. But who's shown you more as an individual that they can carry their team, put them on their back, and move forward in this series, if either one of those guys can do that?
I mean, that is it has honestly shifted from game to game because the first two – first of all, I will say I believe OKC is a more talented team than Minnesota. Minnesota has more experience when you look at certain pieces, when you look at the longevity of Randle, the longevity of Conley, the longevity of Rudy Gobert. They have more experience for sure, but I think from a talent perspective, I think Oklahoma City is by far a more talented team than Minnesota. And Shea – showed me those first two games that he was able to carry his team, as you mentioned, as the MVP of the league. Now, last night, Minnesota made a few adjustments. It almost seemed like Ant was a lot more comfortable being at home, which is understandable, and he put the team on his back. So I think that whoever can do this, if it's OKC and Shea two more times or Anthony Edwards three more times, those two superstars will certainly determine which team advances. But I think that Shea has less to do, even though he does do more. We see him scoring 30 points, grabbing 5 rebounds, 5 assists. I think Shea has a little more confidence in some of his teammates going down the stretch in this series than Ant does. So I would say from game to game, honestly, it seems like each player, a different player, has put their team on their back, and that's been the one that's been able to come out victorious.
Well, listen, that's a nice breakdown and all that. I just feel like this is a Julius Randle series. Whatever he does is going to help propel Minnesota, right?
I can understand that. I mean, he's had some good games, and they still weren't able to get it done. He had a pretty good game one, but we didn't get that performance out of Anthony Edwards or anybody else in the supporting cast.
And that's what
so
I'm
– I can
– Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. So Julius Randle, he is the X factor as far as Minnesota is concerned. But if he has 25 or 30 points and Anthony Edwards can't match that with at least a 20 to 25 point night, it's going to kind of be for nothing. So unless Julius gets out there and starts doing what Siakam did the other night and giving us 38 or 40 points, Anthony Edwards has to step up and do more for Minnesota to really get over the hump.
Yep. That's what we're going to watch for. That's what we're going to watch for with this. I mean, with this particular series, OKC to me is just out to show that, you know, maybe I don't know if people will say disrespecting or a lot of people just want to see if they can get across the finish line.
That's it.
First time. If they can get across the finish line, I think they earn it in the minds of a lot of people.
And they're the team. Everybody across the board feels like they're the better team, as Terrell said. So if they're the better teams, how do you let getting smacked around the other night happen? Especially in the playoffs, especially when the want and need to get past what people say you can't is white hot. The adjustments made by the coaching staffs also comes into play here moving forward, since they've all had these three games that are now behind them. And, you know, Oklahoma City did what they did at home and then got slapped when they got to Minnesota and everything kind of back, you know, whatwards with what's going on in the East. You got to watch these guys make these adjustments. You talk about a Thibodeau team that defensively at times lacks, and you don't really see that with his coach teams. So again, the continuous adjustments that these teams make right now is what's going to be an interesting watch for me. Terrell?
Yeah, you hit that right on the head right there. I completely agree with you. At this point, when you're moving into game four scenarios in both series, both teams know each other. You know the other's tendencies. So it does come down to coaching, who can make the adjustments there, who wants it more, and execution. Because, I mean, at this point, again, these are the four best teams, at least right now, in the NBA. So we know we're going to get from a talent perspective. So it does. Like, you hit it right on the head. Coaching, execution, and then who wants it more? Who has the will and the drive to actually get it done?
That's what we watch for as we get set for this fourth game. It's coming up this evening in Minnesota, of course, with OKC with the 2-1 advantage. In that, I mean, and what are you having for the game? You're not gonna have anything on the grill, but what you serving for?
Man, you can ask every one of our guests about what they cook.
Absolutely, man.
We got plates. Everybody, we got plates going all over the city.
Absolutely, we're going over to Terrell. what
you got? What you got today, man? I ain't been with a plate and a barbecue in forever. You got me going to three today.
We gonna do it, man.
I'm not in control of the menu today, so I know it's been switched up a little bit, and it's gonna be a hibachi style. Memorial Day, some teriyaki chicken and hibachi vegetables and such. So I'll get a little food before I got to get to work again today. So I'll get a little grub and enjoy it and be tuned into the game as well.
All right. What's wrong?
You ain't got to worry about me coming to your house. I mean, I like me some, but I ain't not today. I want something special today. He didn't sell it right either way.
Yeah, he said, we're going to have a little forward. Something here. Little,
I'll bypass. You ain't going to worry about me knocking on your door. Don't worry about it. With a plate in my hand.
we'll throw you a hot dog and hamburger on the grill. Don't worry.
Hey, don't sneeze on hot dogs. Don't sneeze on a well-made hot dog. Anyway, man, listen, Terrell, we'll be talking to you next week, but thank you as always, buddy.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Much love. Have a great day, y'all.
All right, now.
Terrell Thomas, E's Urban Times, coming in here late. Listen, let's keep the conga line going here because we didn't plan on having a guest now. And we didn't plan on having the guests we're going to have next segment, but we have to get...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This man, Mike Conti, and everybody connected with Atlanta United, their flowers, because they had a wonderful day today.
Yeah, man.
Everybody connected with Atlanta United is going out in the city today, maybe. You know, going out and getting something to eat. Hold their heads up high.
Have a good time. But like I said, they don't have a lot of time to enjoy this.
No, they got Wednesday.
They got to turn right around, right? You know, you got to get right back out there, get into training tomorrow, and be ready to turn it around on Wednesday and keep it going against another really good team.
On the call with our own Mike Conti was our own Jason Longshore, who we regularly talk to here. We had Jason on Saturday, but didn't plan on him today. But since got the win last night. We're going to have Jason join us, talk about what he saw yesterday when they beat Cincinnati. It is Sam and Greg in for the Steakhouse, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Every Saturday.
He puts up with me, too.
Nah, I don't put up with you. Nobody
puts
up
with
you.
Yeah, he does.
But Jason joins us, and he gets us set for Atlanta United as he did this past Saturday, getting ready for yesterday's match. But throughout the season, he's been on every Saturday and Sundays when we were doing it, talking about Atlanta United. Then the next week we would come back, and he would, you know, let us know, and you could just tell the frustration in his voice when he came here. Expected this team to do a lot more this season, and it's just been one of those years where, as they say in broadcasting, he's earned his money this year, trying to stay positive and keep us positive, and he's done a great job at it. So finally, when there's something to really celebrate, we don't want to wait a week to get Jason back. We want to bring him on, let him crow a little bit, tell us what we saw last night, and he decided to join us this morning. We can't thank him enough. So, Jason,
absolutely.
Thank you for getting up and joining us on this non-scheduled segment. But, man, we could blame you and Mike for getting us the win, but just overall, how would you describe what you saw in this Atlanta United team yesterday?
Yeah, it was kind of what we talked about going into the game. You needed to see this team be better in both boxes, but especially on the attack. You know, this was a team that had 14 goals coming into this one. And I think the crazy thing about Atlanta United in 2025 is you've got now 18 goals this season. Two games have resulted in 8 of those goals. You have 2 games with 4 goals. They have the capability of scoring like they did last night. They were finally, I think, a little more clinical. They got more numbers forward, and it was something that in the full-time report, you can go back and listen to Jay Fortune, his conversation with myself and Mike. It was something that Ronnie Dyla wanted the attacking midfielders to do, because it can't just be on Latte Lott and Miguel Almiron to score the goals for this team. Other guys have to get into the box, get into goal-scoring opportunities, and then convert. And you got set-piece mastery from Derek Williams. He scores. He gets an assist as well. You get a goal from Jay Fortune, a midfielder. You get a goal from Bartosz Szlich, a midfielder from a set-piece. You had more people contributing, and it made for a game where you were never behind, and you answered any moment of Cincinnati, who's a top team in this league, coming back into it. You just were able to hold your nerve and get the win, which was much, much needed.
Absolutely, folks. Great to spend some time on this holiday Monday morning on the waitfor.com hotline with Jason Longshore. And he is social, especially today. You can always find him at Longshoe, at Longshoe. Of course, he is your host for Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Jason, talk about the fact that they win this game last night, the primetime game of all times to come out. And as I said earlier on our show here this morning, sometimes you're just sick and tired of being sick and tired. But to do it against the team that's performing the way that Cincinnati has this season, and to do it under the watchful eyes of the entire league, everybody got a chance to see, okay, maybe we were able to get over on these guys in the first several months of the season. From this forward, maybe this is the real Atlanta United team that everyone expected. We see signs of it and the way it really is supposed to look last night.
Yeah, these Sunday night soccer games, you know, you had Miami here on one of these earlier this year, and that was a wild back and forth that had a ton of attacking soccer in it. This one did as well. There's something about it. You know, you think back to when Sunday night football started. I mean, even go way, way back to Monday night football. There's just a different vibe. There's a different feeling. And maybe it's just a different energy. Maybe get up for the game in a little bit different way. But these games have really delivered. And, you know, I'll go to the second part of what you were asking. This is a team that needed to show that they could handle that kind of energy. And I think pressure in a way, because yeah, one of the big storylines coming into this was Atlanta United has not been what anybody expected. Why? And you had all of the national media looking at it and throwing their theories out there, and you had to answer that. And you had to show that, you know, what this season has been up to this point, which hasn't been good enough, doesn't define what maybe it can be. Now, you get another quick turn to Wednesday, 2 days in between, to rest, and one win is great, but you've got to show that you can do this on a more regular basis. And that's going to be the key for this group going forward, especially with a long stretch of road games coming up after Wednesday night.
And that's what I was going to ask you about. Jason Longshore joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're in for the steakhouse. How sustainable is what we saw last night, or will adjustments need to be made to continue it depending on the opponent, home, road, indoor, outdoor, all of that stuff that plays into the season as far as what this team has in front of them?
Definitely the opponents will present different challenges, no question about that. I think one element that is something Ronnie Dyla mentioned in his post-game commentary is that you've got to have more of the ball to have more control. Now, Cincinnati's a very good team, and they were able to pin Atlanta in multiple times. And the credit to Atlanta United is that even with less of the ball than their opponent, they were able to create dangerous opportunities. I know a lot of people have pulled up the stat sheet and pointed to Cincinnati's shots, but they took so many bad shots. And yeah, it shows up in the category. It's a shot. But when it's a shot from 40 yards and it ends up in the 15th row, are you really that concerned about it?
Yeah.
No. There were a ton of chances that Cincinnati ended up settling for long range, low percentage. And you'll take that. What you want to see from Atlanta United going forward, though, is more possession to dictate the game a little bit more. That's kind of on both sides of the ball, offense and defense. When you have the ball, you're going to be able to create more. You're going to be able to do what Cincinnati did, pin the opponent back away from their attacking half, away from the goal they're trying to score in. It helps you defensively as well when you have that possession, because you can dictate where the game is being played and where the ball is on the field. Field position is a big element of this. You don't want to have to always play off of the ball, look for counterattacks, try to convert on set pieces, those sorts of things. That's something that this team has to, in my opinion, kind of regain its confidence to do. But this is a good step in that direction, and it's a good win. And it felt like Ronald Hernandez talked about this. When you get wins like this, you can feel the confidence flowing, almost like coming back into the group. It felt that way in the locker room after the game. Now, can that carry forward to Wednesday? And that's just, that has to be the question right now with the season that this team has had. Great win, good stuff, a lot of eyeballs on it, a lot of goal scorers, all kinds of good things coming out of it. But it doesn't mean as much if you can't follow it up on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's what you mentioned. You mentioned the locker room, and I was going to ask you about that, you know, the vibe in the locker room, what a win like this does for the locker room. When you look in the mirror and say, yes, we are that good. Yes, we are this side. This is what we are supposed to do. And you get something that kind of confirm and reaffirm that and send a different type of vibe through the locker room now.
Yeah, it needs to be that kind of feeling. And I think one other element, you know, we specifically get Jay Fortune and Matt Edwards on the post-game show. And you can go back and listen to those interviews on the Full Time Report, Off the Woodwork podcast. You can get that after every Atlanta United game. But Jay and Matt, I think those are two guys with the performances that they had. Jay was man of the match, in my opinion. Matt was very good defensively, and he's been very good defensively. These are two guys that you talk about the overall team confidence. These are two guys that every player in this team has confidence in, and that has grown over this season. These are two players who, they came to Atlanta as teenagers to join the Atlanta United Academy from the Raleigh area in North Carolina. They came together. They're basically like brothers. And now, when you look on the field for emotional reactions and moments, good, bad, trying to motivate, all of the above, those are two guys that you see that from. And these are two young players. And these are two players that are not on the high end of the salary scale. They didn't come in from other leagues around the world. These are two guys who have become Atlanta through and through. And I think the overall confidence of the group is one element, but having guys like Miguel Almiron, Latte Lott, Alexei Maranchuk, I thought Maranchuk was brilliant last night, by the way, when those guys can look at Jay and Matt and Noah Cobb when he gets called upon, the guys who have been here since they were kids, and they can look at them and say, I can go to battle with that guy. He's got my back. You know, if I get kicked, he's going to come kick somebody and get them back for me. That confidence in those kinds of guys, that's another huge element to what a game and a win like this one can bring you, because those are two guys who are becoming focal points of this group and almost have to be on the field.
All right, Jason. So earlier I asked you about the sustainability of what we saw last night, and let's put it to the teams they have in front of them. New York is going to be on Saturday, but up first on Wednesday night is Orlando. What you know of this team, and having watched them play the way they have, are they going to let Atlanta play the way they did last night come Wednesday?
It's a game that could look somewhat similar in that Orlando is a team that typically would like to have more of the ball like Cincinnati did. It's a team that maybe from a defensive standpoint, the way that they press aggressively, not quite as much. I think the other element that gives you something to exploit in Orlando is their back line does not have a lot of speed. And you think back to a couple of opportunities in this one where Atlanta finally started to look for that ball over the top and get Latte Lott off to the races, running past defenders. Orlando's center backs cannot run with Latte Lott. I think that's something that you have to look for more if you're Atlanta United. And you can take that away from, there was one long ball over the top, Matt Miazga completely misplayed, Latte Lott got in behind him. A couple other opportunities where he ran something down out wide. You had Sava Lobjanidze run one down as well on a ball over the top. That, what we saw against Cincinnati and what worked at times with that, the longer ball over the top to get into the attacking half. And then, okay, if you win the ball, great. Then you're set up in the attacking half. You can try to build an attack. If you don't win the ball, you can press and force the team to have a turnover. And there was one where Jay Fortune pressed, forced a turnover, goes out for a corner kick. You score off the corner. So that's something that you can carry from Cincinnati to Orlando. But this is a team that has not lost very often in the past couple of months, Orlando City. They're a very veteran-laden team. This is a team that's not going to get rattled. You've got to take it to them with your speed, in my opinion, because I don't think Orlando can run with you. And then by the time you get to Saturday in New Jersey and Red Bull Arena, it is going to be really difficult because you will have played Sunday, 2 days off, Wednesday, 2 days off, and travel, and play at Red Bull Arena. It will kind of come down. Saturday is Saturday. You get to that later, and you see who's fresh, who can give you 60 minutes, who can give you 45 minutes, who can give you 90. Orlando is the most important one. You have to go all in on winning this match at home. That's the better opportunity to win out of the two. You have to fully go for it, and I think you have to go for it utilizing your speed, because that's how you can hurt this Orlando City team.
Fantastic stuff. Fantastic stuff, Jason. We appreciate you.
And yeah, that was great.
Spinning around after last night and you and Mike on the call, but it was such an exciting win and something that this team really needed, something we needed to see. We wanted to see this team perform up to the preseason expectations. I think we saw it. Like I've said earlier today, sometimes you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And it came out last night in a great way.
And before he goes, he gave a little rundown of where he's at. So, Jason, before you go, didn't you say you were going to be appearing someplace
today?
Yeah,
what you got today?
Yeah, I had like three things yesterday. They were all great. Great okay. Crowds all over the place. I got to hang out with Blooper for a little while and watch some Premier League soccer. That was great. Today, I'm up at Nofo Brewing in Cumming. Nofo Brewing is a sponsor of a team in England called Walsall. And they're playing in the promotion final to get to the third division. It's a huge game. It's a small club that hasn't been at this level all that often. And they have a very local tie, which is very cool. Make sure you're following 929 The Game on social media and soccer down here. We're going to have some stories about how that connection came together. And we'll see if Walsall can get into the third division. And then maybe we all have another team to root for, right?
There you go.
There we go.
And then Saturday, hopefully we can get in touch with you, have you come on and join us, talk about not just Wednesday's match, but get us set for Saturday night, Atlanta United versus the Red Bulls.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know I gotcha.
There you go. Jason Longshore, you're the best, buddy. Enjoy the rest of your Memorial Day.
Thanks, man.
Have fun at your
promotion
later on. And, man, yeah, this is just last minute, though, but we can't.
Yeah.
We can't just, like, let that one go. We've been waiting for this kind of excitement out of his voice a long time.
It gets you every time, don't it?
Yeah, well, there was no way I could interrupt that. But
oh,
I
no
do
way.
Have a question.
Yeah.
I thought he did that every time.
Every game?
Well, not every – well, every game where they do that going into the seventh inning or, you know,
seventh
between
inning. Yeah, right. Seventh inning.
I saw somebody else do it. Might have been the first day. But it wasn't him. It was like another person singing it.
Okay.
I
maybe
thought
because,
it was Timothy.
Because it wasn't Sunday. He's always on Sunday.
He's always – okay.
Sunday and sometimes on, you know, on holidays or something. So
well, they're
not playing today, so we have Timothy Miller, friend of the show.
Yes, he is. Yes, know, he is. Speaking of friends of the show.
Yeah.
Actually, speaking of the show.
How about that?
We've got Jolge back. we've got Jolge back.
Oh, Lord.
Morning, man.
Jared.
What's going on?
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Man,
how are you?
I scream at you when I see your commercial go by. I go, that's Garrett. He's getting pulled over for a ticket again.
Dude,
or he's
hell,
being a
man.
Safe driver. Give everybody the message
see
that
there.
Who don't know.
Don't
that
text
that's,
and drive. Just don't do it. Don't do that. That's the only message, really.
That's the Georgia
the
Highway
governor's,
Patrol.
The governor's Office of Highway Safety.
Ah.
Reminds
okay.
you.
There you go.
To not text and drive.
And that very, very handsome young man.
He's our guy.
Who embraces the preppy look, as
he's,
he likes to say.
He's our guy. He's
a dapper
our guy,
look.
That's the guy who's in the commercial, and that's our own Garrett Chapman.
Yeah. There he is.
Who
there
should
he is,
be doing more in front of the camera. But
hey, man, you say the word.
I've been saying the word. We got to get
waiting.
Some pictures of you and get
I'm
you out
waiting.
There. A good time
he,
for it.
He's
great
gonna
to
get
see
me.
You,
he's
man.
Gonna get me into Marvel and everything
yeah,
else.
Really,
I'm
dude, don't
on
get
it.
Me. Don't say Marvel around here. You know they're
the M word.
Yeah, they're gone. Did you not know that?
Where are they?
Marvel,
where'd they go?
Marvel. They didn't leave Georgia. They left America. They went to Europe.
That's no fun.
It was a business decision.
Okay.
And we see business decisions made all the time, especially
that's
in sports.
That's
where do we want to start with this man?
Man,
because there's
I, you
so
know,
much.
I know it.
Is it Georgia Southern? I'm sure there's some kind of thing between
no,
you guys.
No, not Georgia Southern. No, but we were just talking about Georgia Tech sitting out there in the bullpen. In fact, he's covered a lot of Georgia Tech, and we're going to find out where they end up going here at 12 noon as far as the, mm-hmm. the college baseball tournament. But we felt like Georgia
yeah.
Tech deserved to host a regional, right, Gary?
Yeah, I was hoping they would, but I know some of the people who said – This team had a bit of an easier ride, I guess you could say, in the ACC. I don't buy that. Every single ACC champion from the regular season since 1999 has hosted a regional. Every single one of them, except wow. for Danny Hall in his final season at Georgia Tech.
I was going to ask you about
it's
that.
Nuts. Yeah.
It's his final season. When you talk to friends around the country, we talk to anybody who they think they know baseball.
Sure.
How do you describe him in the pantheon of college coaches?
He's a tree in the wind, you know. He's one of those guys who's just been there. He's been there for, I mean, what was it, since the early 90s?
Yeah, he's
94.
30 plus years, something like that. But
he's been there longer than I've been alive,
but
just putting that in perspective.
Yeah, when you say it like
just
that.
Just think about it that way.
But you don't hear the praise that he deserves for his longevity, but also the guys he's put into Major League Baseball
yeah.
over the years, like you hear basketball coaches on the college
sure.
level.
Yeah, I mean, he's put several players into the majors.
Yeah, and just the most recent one I would think would be Chandler Simpson,
mm-hmm.
the guy who's just stealing all the bases and running all over the place down with Tampa Bay
mm-hmm.
Coming out of Georgia Tech. So he's one of the most recent. Marquise Grissom Jr. is like about a heartbeat away from getting
yeah.
a call up.
Yeah.
Georgia Tech guys.
No, look, I mean, he's been a steady hand for the Georgia Tech baseball program. I mean, he's been there for forever. Forever.
Yeah. yeah.
I mean, and you're ushering in a new generation. It's kind of a shame that he doesn't get a regional at Georgia Tech in his final season. This team won 40-plus games.
Yep.
Four, I think it was actually exactly, I think it was 40-17. It's their final record.
And you make it to the semifinal of your conference tournament. You know, you make it to the semifinal of your conference tournament up in Durham, and you lose in that game against Clemson, and you don't get to host a regional.
And the other three teams who also didn't win the ACC this year, the other three teams are all hosting a regional.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to think about.
Yeah,
it's a little disappointing.
It is. Still talking baseball. Braves not playing today. We all think that's really weird that they're not playing. But thoughts about this past weekend? I thought it was a weekend where they got, obviously you got the infusion of the excitement for for Ronald Acuna Jr. But left some things out there with some good starts in pitching. We got some good starting pitching. We had a good start yesterday.
Yeah, Spencer Schwellenbach was solid yesterday. We talked to him after the game. He and Brian Snicker. Ozzie also played well. It's his first multi extra base hit game of the season. He's only had one of those this year, which is crazy to think about. He generally averages somewhere in like the 10 to 15 to 20 in that kind of range. And look, he needs to get going. He really needs to get going. But the starting pitching, it's been better. You know, it's been really solid this season, and I think they've been able to hang their hat on it. It's just they're not getting hits. You got to get hits in big spots. And it looked like they were finally putting all that together yesterday, and then they kind of stall out. They get the three runs, which ultimately is not going to get you a lot. But you waste another start from Spencer Schwellenbach, which is a shame. You wasted a start from Chris Sale, which was a shame. And, I mean, when you get a guy who's averaging, what? I think he's got a 1.62 ERA in his last five starts, Chris Sale.
Yeah.
And he has one win in that span. That's just not good enough. You need to hit the baseball better.
And you
have to take advantage of those starts.
And you better, because otherwise you're going to hear about it in the locker room with him.
You know you will.
Somebody. You know you will.
Yeah. No, he's fired up. He gets fired up for sure.
He's got to get run support. How long until you start to worry about we're going to see Spencer Strider coming back?
Well, he's back. I mean,
I know he's back, but how until we see him, that guy?
He'll go tomorrow night in Philadelphia. And there was a little bit of talk about whether or not he was going to get a rehab start. And in hindsight, it's 2020. And maybe I don't think there was any issue necessarily with him and his ability to pitch. He was just champing at the bit to try to get back and pitch, you know. And he got hit pretty hard, and that's just a reality. And I think he's going to come back and he's going to be fine. But as far as his health is concerned and ramping up and doing everything else, he should be just fine.
Talk about how big is this series, because we haven't seen a lot of division opponents. We've been playing all these other
You haven't seen the Phillies at all.
Right.
No. You haven't seen the Mets at all.
Yep.
You know, and that's the other thing. It's like these guys lead the division, of course, and they're you play division games. Divisional games are always going to be critically important. You got to go get a win. You got to go get a win in this one. You have to pick at least a couple of games on the Phillies just for, the mental side of where this team is, because I don't think they capitalized on the return of Ronald Acuna and that infusion of excitement and, you know, just that jovial nature of what Braves baseball can be when Ronald Acuna is in the lineup. But you got to take advantage of it up here in Philadelphia. This is a big series. They have the best record in the National League. Yeah. So you got to go up there and go get at least one or two wins.
Before we let you go, any thoughts on Atlanta United's big win last night?
Oh, my God. They needed that, didn't they?
Yeah.
Lord have mercy. Four goals?
Yeah, man.
I talked to Jason Longshore on Saturday night on my show, and he said they're generating opportunities. They're just not scoring goals. And I'm like, well, you got to score goals if you want to win matches. And they were finally able to put a couple through, which – one or two of those were pretty fortunate, you know. But at the end of the day, I will take what we can get, you know. So this is a big win for them. They needed those full 3 points. First win since March 29th.
Man.
And you had more goals on Sunday in open play than you had in that entire span since then. Crazy to think about.
Yesterday was one of those special days where a number of events have been going on, and I don't know what you're going to talk about when you get in here as far as the racing. You had three big races going on yesterday, but is Indy, is maybe Daytona 500? It's been a while since we worked with you. What's a bucket list location, and is Indy 500 one of those that happened this week?
I'd like to go to the Indy. In all due respect to the Indy 500, I'm not a big racing guy necessarily. I'd love to go. I want to go up with Mike Bell's up there right now, and he says it's always a destination.
I've been there once,
for him.
But I was a little kid.
But I forget it's happening every year. I need somebody who's a big racing fan to kind of
remind you,
hold my hand, and take me through it.
So, what is that sporting event that you haven't been to that you want to?
I want to go to the Masters. That's one. That's on my list.
That's right down.
That's
the road.
That's on my list. Yeah. It's right down the road.
Yeah, but you got to call
Sam Crenshaw. Knows a guy. Sam Crenshaw knows a guy, and then he knows a guy who knows a guy.
The Masters is one of those things where you got to call in some favors.
It's true.
And I just, you know,
we'll see. But I mean, look, I want to go to a Super Bowl. I haven't been to a lot of things. I've been to a World Series game, but We'll see.
All right,
we'll
man.
See.
Well,
I got a lot.
Good to see you.
Gentlemen, it's always,
always
a pleasure.
Good to see you,
absolutely,
man.
Always a pleasure.
Absolutely.
He's coming up next.
Yes, he is. He's coming up next. Noel, thank you. God bless you. Everything that you do for us, keeping us going. Mr. Crenshaw,
yeah.
Happy Memorial Day.
You got, same to you as well.
You going to go steal a plate from somebody's barbecue?
Somewhere. I'm providing somebody. I'm going to show it with my empty plate.
Take care of Sam, would you please?
Right.
He needs a meal. For the rest of you, thank you for letting us be a part of your Memorial Day morning. Again, casting call. If you want to see the list where you can find some money, it's flying through the air. Get Cast with Greg or 929thegame.com/casting call. We'll be back next Saturday morning, 8 until noon. Have a wonderful rest of your day and make it a safe one. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 929 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.